As a child, Milwaukee filmmaker Ben Elbert would get dropped off at his grandparents' house every Friday to explore the wetlands in their southern Wisconsin backyard, where they have lived for more than 50 years.
They were just trying to open up this world to us as kids. You would go out every time we went out, there'd be something new and interesting, and we would fish for, you know, a dip net in this creek. So you wouldn't really expect much, right? Mm-hmm. But every time we would pull it up, there'd be this just immense amount of organisms and all this life. And as a child, that was just extremely fascinating.
In a new film, his grandfather recalls Ben's fascination with the natural world from an early age.
And Benny, who's five, said, "I know what I'm going to be when I grow up." He's such an observant person.
Oh, Grandma, I know a way how to get the crayfish. I'm going to try not to tell you, but...
And then I said something like scuba diver, you know, and so on. He says, "No, Grandpa, scientist. I'm going to be a scientist."
Instead of becoming a scientist, Ben eventually decided to pursue filmmaking as a career. In 2020, he rediscovered his childlike wonder for the natural world by making a documentary about the place that inspired his curiosity as a child, the Wabisa Wetlands.
Ben Albert's new documentary is An Invitation to Wonder, Wabisa Wetlands. It airs on PBS Wisconsin on Sunday, March 16th at 6:30 p.m. Tells the story of the natural hidden gem just south of Madison and the scientist who aims to preserve it, Ben's grandfather, Cal DeWitt. I talked to Ben Albert last week.
There's kind of three main characters in the documentary. There's you, there's the wetlands, and there's your grandfather, Cal DeWitt. He's a legendary researcher at UW's Nelson Institute for Environmental Studies. His voice, his face is very prominent in this. I want to give a listen to him talking about observing the wetlands.
One thing that you learn in... being a student of the wetland is patience, persistence. And that often will open the book to you so that you can read the real beauty.
And that's what you did. The heart of the documentary is you, just you, out in a boat on the wetlands week after week, day, sometimes after dark. What did you get from that? You know, you're in that first experience, but then you go back again and again. How did the wetlands kind of open up to you and your understanding when you had that patience and persistence that your grandfather's talking about there? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So on first impression, a wetland is a very kind of inhospitable, challenging place to be in. And I think that's a big reason why they're so misunderstood. In Wisconsin alone, we've lost so much of our wetlands. And I think it's just that disconnect and that kind of fear people have for these places. They're these mosquito infested, they're inhospitable, they're, you know, it's challenging to navigate. And that was both for my grandpa and I, you know, that is kind of some of the first impressions. You know, you go out there and you're sinking into the peat, sometimes up to your waist. As you learn in the film, the peat extends way down below you. So there's areas that you can fall in. Vegetation is tall. Some of the cattails are over 10 feet tall. So you kind of can get lost navigating through it. And what my grandpa taught me and really encouraged me is just to go out and spend the time there and try to kind of set aside some of our like human expectations of like, I want to see this today, I want that to happen, because you can't really predict what's going to happen in the wetland. There's so much life, there's so many different intricate kind of systems happening all at the same time. So the key was really to go out every day, be patient, and over months, the wetland started to open itself up to me, and that's when you really started to see the beauty that makes this place special.
All that said, there were some unique challenges, it looked like, and you talk about it some in the documentary, to filming in a wetland environment. What were some of the biggest obstacles you had?
Really, I mean, a wetland is, as the name suggests, it's wet land. Everything is saturated with water. And when you're out there filming with camera equipment that is not waterproof, that poses a significant obstacle and challenge. So I learned quickly. I had to tie my camera down to the canoe. I had to invent kind of some different kind of DIY camera techniques, I guess, for filming in this environment, especially for filming the underwater landscape, which is, you know, half of this ecosystem is under the surface. So I wanted to make sure I could capture that. And I used a fish tank that I actually was able to set my camera down in, and that allowed me to film about a foot under the surface to capture most of that world. So different kind of obstacles like that. And of course, learning later that the depth of the marsh and that you can sink in and that there are these holes, you know, there's a very real kind of fear there that, you know.
Like 30 foot deep peat, up to 90 feet, I think.
Up to 95 feet in depth, the peat extends below you. And some areas of the marsh are like walking on a trampoline. You know, there's a thin layer of vegetation on the very surface and everything below you is saturated. There was water slowly percolating through from springs deep underground. So it's almost like you're walking on the surface of a lake with a thin layer of vegetation on top.
We're talking with Milwaukee-based filmmaker Ben Albert, creator of the documentary Wabisa Wetlands, An Invitation to Wonder. It tells the story of the natural hidden gem just south of Madison and the scientist who aims to preserve it. I want to give a listen again to your grandfather, Cal DeWitt, talking about the complexity of this wetlands ecosystem.
And if you try to understand it, you'll discover that you have entered a system which always requires more knowledge. It doesn't stop at the bottom of the peat. It doesn't stop, period.
That's a great attitude. I think this is a situation where the more you learn, in this case about the wetlands, the more you know you don't know, kind of.
Exactly.
Did that kind of keep unfolding to you as you kept going back week after week? Mm.
Yeah, I love that section of the film and that interview. My grandpa has lived there for over 50 years, and even after spending all that time out there, he feels like he's just scratched the surface of this ecosystem. Like, there's always more to learn, especially as a scientist, you know. And one thing that's really unique and special about my grandpa's perspective is he has always had that open, childlike wonder and curiosity for the world. And that's something I think that he has gained from also being in relationship with the marsh, this place that has so much. There's always something new that you discover every time you go out there. There was a few kind of situations where I just did become very humbled by being there. For example, when you're in the fall, when there's all this all the migrating birds, and you see these flocks of thousands of blackbirds overhead, it's hard to not feel very small in comparison. And also going out at night, and there's all these different experiences that over time you realize that, you know, you are a guest. You're a guest entering this ecosystem that is so much bigger, so much older. We're just a part of the system. We're very small in comparison, and these places have been evolving for thousands of years.
As we wrap up, Ben, what would you say to encourage someone to pick that piece of nature, whether it's in their yard or a local park or a state park or whatever, and keep making that visit and having that patience and persistence to see what we can learn from it?
Mm-hmm. I think one of the most important lessons I learned from making this film is something my grandpa he told me, and he really lives by, and that is, in order for someone to care for and protect something, they first need to really love it. They have to love it on a very personal level. And, you know, one thing he did was, when he first moved into their home around the wetland, he was worried about it being developed. There was actually proposals of a highway being built across the marsh. And he took his neighbors on field trips into the marsh. And he also had his graduate students from UW-Madison present their research to the neighbors. And it was just, people need to see it with their own eyes. That's really how he was able to protect the Wabisa wetlands, was bringing people out there so they could build their own relationship with it and seeing the research his students were doing. And I think that applies to much beyond Wabisa wetlands as well. There really is so much to learn right in our back yards. And I would just encourage people to go out and discover what's there.
Ben, thanks so much for sharing this with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Ben Albert is a filmmaker based in Milwaukee. His documentary, An Invitation to Wonder, Wabisa Wetlands, airs on PBS Wisconsin this Sunday at 6:30 p.m. You'll be able to stream it online after that broadcast at wabisafilm.com. Wisconsin author has a new book about the impact of social media on tween girls and the ways that young girls navigate life online and their mental health.
And we want to hear from you. If you grew up with social media in your tween and teen years, what did it mean to you? What were the upsides and the downsides and the things you wish were different about it? And how did social media affect your friend groups?
And if you've raised children in the era of social media, same questions.
Share your stories, share your thoughts, email wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's wisconsintoday@wpr.org. Or you can call or text us at 888-642-0232.
Wisconsin Today is the work of a team of producers, hosts, and technical directors. Learn more about us at wpr.org/Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to WPR News.